It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports time out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Hey, guys. Hello, hello. Thank you for joining in today. This is our Sports Time Out broadcast where we take on the sports of the week. We talk about stories that go beyond just sports. And on My Michelle Live podcast, we get to a message of hope. We get to what we call the God story as well. So welcome. Get ready for a really exciting week and some big controversies, as always, and even some messages of inspiration. Let me introduce you to the roundtable of sports commentators today. We have with us on, I guess that would be my left there, is the Encyclopedia of All Sports, Rich Hallstrom.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The Encyclopedia.
He is also the author of Thunder Sports Network. Then we have with us the author of this book, The Athlete in the Game of Life. You can get a link from My Michelle Live. It is our own Man of Steel, Matt Peel.
The Man of Steel.
I am the knowledge and strength of 10,000 worlds, and flesh and machine. I am becoming everything.
That's a proper introduction.
The Man of Steel.
A proper introduction. Whatever.
Yes.
Anyway, we've got with us Garrick Payne, all around good guy. He is a coach. He is a chaplain. He is a husband and he is a father and he's an all around good guy. He is Garrick Payne. Let's get ready.
Get ready to get...
Could have just said, amen.
These are the fellas joining me today and talking sports and oh so much more. They're my brothers. They're my friends. I am so glad to be hanging out with you as we get into the weekend. And we're getting into NHL. I mean, 2021 season has now kicked off. It is underway. You know, earlier this year, I was in Tampa Bay and I was covering the Lightning's win for the Stanley Cup for their second straight time. Very cool. Defending champions, though, getting into this new season, let the Penguins waddle all over them, if I might say, in their season opener. I mean, their loss was 2-6 to the Penguins. So that was pretty ouch. Their second game, they squeaked by with a W. I think it was 7-6, Rich, with a win over Detroit, right?
Correct.
Okay, and I'm wondering, it's going to be a fun thing to watch to see if they get a three-peat, if they're going to win the Cup 3 years in a row. From the first two games, I'd say not. There are 10 women on the American Hockey League officiating the roster this season. That's exciting. And the NHL has announced all but 4 players are vaccinated. So there's some big things there. We're going to talk about the Kraken and how they made their inaugural game and some controversies in a kicking score that had them walk away from their first game with a loss. But hey, welcome to the ice, fellas. Looks like you're overwhelmed.
We're all frozen.
You know why? Because I didn't tell everyone. It's time for sports. There you go. Now they're awake.
Hockey.
Now they're awake. Thank you. All right. Let's get back on the ice, guys. A lot to talk about. Even before the show, Rich, you said something and I jumped all over you. You said, talking about the 10 women officiating in hockey this year, and we're all pretty excited about it. The NHL has been kind of slow on the draw. Every other sport has women officiating. And then we said, oh, what about when they have to pull the fights? I mean, the fighting is kind of part of the unofficial part of hockey. And you said, hey, they're
some
tough.
Types of fighting. Some types of fighting. Let's put it that way.
What? No.
Some types of fighting, because we know that the number one move in fighting in the NHL is, hey, can I pull the jersey over the guy's head and then be able to punch him in the nose a few times? And then we go down and then we wail, then we roll around and we pretend like we're really fighting, but we're really not, Matt. That's
kind of how
it goes.
As soon as they hit the ground, then it's over. That's when they step in. As soon as they hit the ground, then the fight is over and they kind of give up. But if they're standing there in center ice, the gloves are off and they're circling, they let them go. And that's how it happens.
Okay, and then you get a woman in the mix. And does it sound sexist? And should I be the one that says it? Because I'm a woman, I can get away with it. That you were saying, Rich, because you were getting all PC on us, good for you. You said, yeah, I think they're tough enough. And I'm like, you know, I'm a tough girl. I don't want to be in that kind of mashup.
Well, I think the women that would be involved in this have other hockey history in their background, have played different levels, Olympics, done other things. These women are qualified, and the AHL is going to give them the opportunity. The NHL in 2020.
Wait. What does that have to do with them being tough enough to break up a fight, though? It's like,
Nothing.
Well, what I'm doing is building the case based on facts of their experience. These women are not just coming in off the street, just like any man who came off the street would not be capable of conducting himself as a hockey referee. So we got to
Okay, that's a referee, but what does that have to do with breaking up a fight? Absolutely zero, nada, not. I mean, being tough enough because they have an impressive resume.
We know in the job description of a referee or a linesman that you may have to break up a fight. So that is one of the quote unquote job qualifications.
Okay.
And if these women have played hockey at any level, they know about the potential of fighting. They know
okay.
about the potential
I've been in,
of roughness.
I could so say I've been in street fights,
so
and I have experience. I don't
let's
care,
not
Rich.
Insult their intelligence.
I don't. That. Oh, wait a minute.
That's
no
not
one
their
insulted
intelligence.
Their intelligence.
That's not their intelligence at all.
That has nothing to do with intelligence.
Has nothing to do with it.
So if I get in a fight, wait. If I get in a fight with Man of Steel Matt Peel, you're telling me I'm an idiot if I can't win? That you're insulting my intelligence because I can't win. Go ahead, Matt.
That's not what I'm saying. And
then it's irrelevant.
Drew that from what I said.
No, I didn't. You said I am. We are not insulting their intelligence. Their intelligence has nothing to do with what it's like to be in between a bunch of guys with sticks and in pads beating the heck out of each other, Matt.
I agree. Agreed. We'll see how that goes unless they have some sort of unwritten rule where, you know, that she's not going to get into that specific type of situation. But I don't know how you can kind of avoid it. The game is the game. Yes, you're Rich. To your point, they have played. They've been involved. They're not new to the sport. It's not taking someone off the street that's never doesn't even know what a hockey puck looks like.
Correct.
And they've probably been in some fights themselves.
Yeah, but right. For those of you who are on our podcast, you know, I am the one who is always into equity and fairness and merit, okay? And so I think that this should apply here as well. If you have a standard to be an NHL hockey referee, it doesn't matter what skin color you have, it doesn't matter what gender you are, but if you
exactly.
can meet the criteria, and I think that's what Rich was getting at earlier.
Absolutely.
That one of the criteria is being able to break up a fight, okay? And if you've proven yourself on the way up, if you will, going through the AHL or whatever your path was. Now, what I have concern over is the fact that it may not be being done just for the good of the game, but it may be being done for the sake of equity.
I think that's a fair question, Garrick.
And that concerns me because I think it could compromise the standard of the game if you don't have people who are well qualified. In the same way that I am all for, well, maybe this is too big of a can of worms, but in terms of the military, right? If you have women I mean, because there are men and women in the military, and there are many women that I've met in
tough
my days working with the military who could kick my
steel
butt.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And so, but there's some, and if we talk about combat situations and being captured, that's a whole nother conversation. But in terms of just being able to physically do the job, that's how I think it should be objectively evaluated. And that should be the standard in terms of if they can do the job, then by all means, do the job.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I'm coming down on you, Rich, not because it's of you or what you've said, as much as this is a conversation that we should be having, and we shouldn't shut it out just because we want equity, right? I mean, Garrick, you said that your wife may be listening. That is one tough, awesome woman, because she puts up with you, right? I mean, do you want her on the ice breaking up fights?
She is full-blooded Italian, and I learned a long time ago, you just don't cross her.
I like it. So it is exciting to have these women out officiating, and you better believe they're going to do a great job. Not a bad thing to say, but there are some things that are difficult when you're dealing with how men are made and how women are made. I know it's controversial. I know people don't like it, but there is a difference. I'm sorry. And of course, you can direct comments to my Michelle Live, or you can cancel me, whatever you'd like to do. The NHL has announced that all but four players are vaccinated in the National Hockey League, and a lot of good it does them, because the Seattle Kraken, starting off their debut game, had five players, starters included, that were out for COVID protocols. They missed the final practice. They were all five vaccinated. What? So that's kind of awkward, can we say?
Well, like when the Saints had eight coaches on the coaching staff out for the one game against Carolina, they all got the shots, but they were all out for COVID protocol.
Yeah, and
it's
so
the same thing.
It's interesting that Climate Pledge Arena is only allowing vaccinated people. You can't even get in with a negative COVID test. But I was thinking about this I'm like CenturyLink Quest. What's the name of the field?
But Lumen.
Lumen Field. I know, right? I was going through all the old names, but they will allow you to come in now if you have a negative PCR test. But they're the only people in the stadium, the entire stadium, that we know who don't have COVID, because whether you're vaccinated or not, this Delta variant, it's making its rounds.
That's right. And so if you've had COVID before, you're probably safer than everyone else. It is interesting. We're going to circle back in just a moment, but to hockey. But with the COVID protocols and Climate Pledge Arena, or as they call it in Seattle, the crack house for the Kraken. Ouch. They only allow people who have been vaccinated, and yet even their own starting players who were vaccinated out for COVID on COVID protocol. So it really doesn't make sense.
How is it supposed to help? I mean, if anyone can catch it, literally, then what difference does it make if you're vaccinated or not?
I think that's a really key question right now. Eric,
that's the $1 million question right there.
That is the $1 million question, because
it's a billion dollar question.
Remember, I brought up the Cracker Jack box analogy last week. It's like we're trying to stick our hand in the Cracker Jack box and get the prize, and we're coming up short. And as long as we don't address these issues, we're going to be coming up short.
You can see where the money grab is going with this whole thing. And again, that we're going to down a wormhole a little bit, but with all the different ways that they're trying to push it onto the different age groups, it's okay. So that means that obviously the government is going to purchase more. So if they didn't want to purchase it for this age group, that's going to be safe for this age group. So it's, I don't know how people could not see the money behind this. It's pretty obvious.
It is pretty obvious, and it was sad for the Kraken, though they were vaccinated. That was kind of tough, and having some of their players out for in the eve of their very first match, the Kraken up in Seattle Rich, just a moment. For those who are kind of new to hockey, the Kraken are the latest NHL team, Seattle's very own team. Seattle hasn't had a team in, you know, like almost 100 years of professional team on this level. So go ahead, Rich.
Three of those players did fly late to the game and participate because they had later COVID tests and passed.
Yeah, which, why so can't we have COVID tests and go back to the arena? I'm just saying, and yes, they did, but to the bigger point, the eve of the match, they weren't even part of the final practice. And just to cover this historic event of the Kraken and their very first game, they played in Las Vegas, and there was actually a pretty weird call, and it was for kicking. The player kicked the puck into the goal, and it was ruled a goal, and that's why the Kraken lost their first match. They came out a little tentative, I'm going to give them that, but they finished pretty strong. But I'm going to call it this historically the worst kicking call in an inaugural game in NHL history, and I want to know what you guys think about that call. Rich?
Well, based on NHL rules, you can direct the puck into the goal with your skate, but you cannot do it by a kicking motion.
And so what did his skate do? It went kick.
So what needs to be decided on by the referee, was it a kicking motion or was it guided in to the goal by the skate? And the referee and his compatriots, the linesman, came up with the call that it was guided in, not kicked in a kicking motion. It's judgment
so
call.
So guided would be
just like pass interference in the NFL. Judgment call. They didn't get the call that. They didn't get the call
that. It's not really like pass interference, Rich. It's more like when the arm is going back for a fumble. If you want to make a better analogy. Is it a natural motion, or is his arm truly going forward? And same thing with a skate. Is it a kicking motion, or is it a natural?
Yeah. Is it a natural motion, or was there a kick
or not?
Dude kicked it in like a freaking soccer player. Okay, soccer coach, what say you? Sign him up for the Sounders.
If you go based on soccer standards, it was a kick. All right. I am not a hockey referee, and so. And I don't know what their standard is either, because it has to be clear. And if it's the same as, you know, like with football and soccer, it's a clear and decisive.
Yeah, it has to be clear and decisive.
And so from that perspective, as I watched it, I would say, yeah, I could see how they would not have called that. And I really want to defer to Matt to hear what you have to say, because I know that you don't really have a horse in this race. What's your objective?
Are you saying that I am somehow tainted?
Yes.
Because
yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Well, there was no way Vegas was going to lose on national television with their home opener.
It's, you got to think about from the mechanics standpoint, from a biomechanics standpoint, when you're on land, it's an easy, the way that you swing your leg, you can tell, is it guided or not. When you're on ice and you're slowing yourself down, that's momentum of how you're stopping your body on the ice with your skate. Your legs are moving out, and what may seem as a kicking action could be really just stopping of your momentum on the ice. So, like we said, is it natural? Is it guided? Is he truly swinging the leg through, or is it a more of a stop as I'm sitting at my dining room table, I'm making the motions underneath the table with my legs. So what is that biomechanic standpoint? And that's kind of what they got to look at.
Yeah.
There you go, Michelle.
Moving on.
Moving on.
kicked it in. It's okay. I just want, I do want to say I am pretty excited about the Kraken. And though the Kraken lost that first match, they got their first NHL history. They spoiled the Predators in their opener 4-3. The big shame in that game was Root Sports, because the end of the game, when I was trying to watch it, if you didn't watch it live, I don't know what happened live, but I had to watch it recorded. It cut off and I couldn't see the end. So just want to say that stunk.
Oops. That happened to me with last night's game. And I was so disappointed because I had to do something. And so I stopped at the beginning of the third period. And I'm like, okay, I get to come back and watch the end of the game. And it like, it wasn't there.
I hate that. And it's, you know, it's happening a lot in this DVR record the game era. It stinks. Come on, technology, keep up. While we're still talking about hockey, guys, This is a tough time. You know, we're going to talk even more about some of the awkwardness and the disappointments with COVID protocols, players getting canceled. It's been stressful for everyone. In this year and a half, we've had a lot of loss. And sports is kind of a reprieve. It's a place where you go even when times are tough and you feel a little relief. We saw that a lot with the women playing professional baseball back during World War II, because all the men were off to war. It was a reprieve. It was something to just take our minds off of what's going on. But loss also hits in sports as well. And this is a pretty serious story. You may remember Jimmy Hayes, a former Boston Bruins star. He was a father of two, a husband, and he was found dead in his home in August. The cause of death hasn't been released yet, but his brother Kevin, who says we were best friends his whole life, he plays for the Philadelphia Flyers. He had an interview with the Associated Press, and this is what he said. And I'd like to get your thoughts and some messages of hope in a time where sports might sometimes be a reprieve. Maybe we can be a reprieve today. Kevin said, "I can accept what happened, that my brother's gone. He died. I understand what death is. The thing is," he said, "I can't get my head around the whole thing. Not to get spiritual," he said, "but God. Being mad at God. He hurts. And he's mad at God." And I think in a lot of ways, there's a lot of people in the country who are a little mad at God. Things aren't going really well right now. People have dealt with loss. They've dealt with COVID deaths and vaccine deaths. And since My Michelle Live covers the God story and the story of hope in loss, and that you can be angry with God, guys, what would you say to Kevin Hayes?
Well, I would say to Kevin Hayes that that's not an uncommon thing, that there were people that were mad at God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And
I've been really, there. God and I have not been on speaking terms at times. Not really, on his end, on mine.
You know what was going on, but Christ provides that answer, and Christ provides that answer as an example. Because when Christ went to the cross, he also said, you know, if you can take this away from me, you know, do it. But I'm going to do what you told me to do. Father, I'm going to do what you told me to do. And the Bible also tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. So God is not afraid of questions. That's what I would tell.
Oh, I love that answer. You know, God's not afraid of us saying, "I'm mad at you. Why did you let this happen? I don't understand." That's almost indicative of a real relationship, not a God up in the sky who's just sending down bolts of lightning and doesn't care. That's the age old and the biggest question that people ask about God. If there's a God, why is there evil in the world? If there's a God, Garrick, Matt, well, why am I suffering?
Go ahead, Reverend. I was going to say, go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to talk, you know, think about the story of Job, right? All the crap that happened to Job, and what is, you know, he's questioning, why have you taken, I'm a very successful man, why have you killed everything that I own and put all this sores on me, right? To the point of wanting to curse God. You know, that's what the devil is trying to in the story of Job. So, yeah, absolutely. People are going to be mad at God. I think that's natural. We are human beings.
You're not allowed.
Questioning why are things happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple pieces, I think, to this. And one of them is what you've already said, which is the fact that not only is it okay, I think God welcomes us to be angry at him, to yell at him, and some people might not agree with me, but you can use foul language with God. It does not.
Then Matt, you're okay then. He was like,
It does not. I think as Christian people, we get way too uptight on God's behalf. And the truth is that God knows what's in your heart and in your mind anyway. And that's part of why I love the Psalms, because you see David experiencing, you know, exactly many of the same things that we go through. And so he gets frustrated, he gets upset, and he's asking God. And so that's the first thing, is that I feel like, yeah, God, if there's anybody who's safe for us to go to with our frustrations and our anger, it's him. But then secondly, I think it's also to see the bigger perspective as well. I mean, this earth is finite. This earth is today. It's what we know, but eternity goes on forever. And that's the bigger picture. That's the God story, really. And what Jesus did is he brought us life. And it's not just life as in the afterlife, but it's in life today. The afterlife doesn't begin when we die. Eternal life begins when we enter into that relationship with
Amen.
Him.
You know what's exciting about that?
Perspective.
Is that Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's a fallen world. In other words, the world sucks, people. But fear not. I've overcome the world. And to me, you know what that says? That you can, even in the midst. Now, I've lost a sister. And I know that devastation that he's experiencing and that pain and even that anger. God, why? But you know what I also had? I had a peace and a joy because of that relationship with God that doesn't make sense. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't know where, as you're listening, watching, or viewing, you're at in your whole God thing, but either God is real and I had real peace, or I'm a little bit crazy and I had real peace. So either way, it was a win-win. And I'm going to submit to you, it's probably a little bit of both. Thank you guys for weighing in on that. I wanted to take it to the NFL. But there's a big, ugly story in the NFL. Racism, misogyny, emails with Jeff Pasch, ex-Washington football team guy, President Bruce Allen. They had a relationship. There were 650 emails gone through, blah, 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 blah. Lots of ugliness going on. Rich, what the heck?
Well, 650,000 emails that were detailed for the Washington football team investigation. And that ultimately led to the resignation of John Gruden earlier this week as the Raiders head coach. Big time mess. And it's unfortunate because all these things that were mentioned in conversations between Bruce Allen and John Gruden and Jeff Pasch, with really basically a three-way conversation on a lot of different topics, doesn't put
crisis can happen.
NFL,
sorry
right
about that.
Anyone.
Doesn't keep going.
Doesn't put the NFL in a great. Doesn't put the NFL in a great light. No place for racism. No place for any of this garbage. Takes away from what the NFL could be, and really does make it the no fun league.
Ooh, and, the no fun league. Yeah, that is pretty
NFL.
Ugly.
Something that doesn't need to be there. Gruden made a lot of these comments while he was working on Monday Night Football for ESPN.
Yeah, on ESPN. Well, and wait a minute, I thought Matt, Garrick, Rich, I thought ESPN was all woke.
Well, maybe not at that point. This was pre-woke, right? PW.
Yeah.
Is that a term? Yeah,
not PC, PW, pre-woke.
That's a good term. That's a good term. It's what I like to call guys selective morality when it fits to make my image look better.
Yeah.
Well, Gruden has never been one to really pull punches. I mean, he is who he is. Actually, as they were combing through those emails, they probably saw one from me, because I actually got on a flight one time, and who should be sitting next to me in first class but John Gruden. And so we had a very good conversation, and wow, he told me to send him an email about, at the time he was living in Tampa, and I was connecting him with the folks at Central Command, military connections. But he's someone who I've always pictured as kind of what you see is what you get. And when I heard about these emails, I was not that surprised, to be honest.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of that left in that old culture of NFL. And I think,
and maybe that generation, may I intervene and say that generation, we have made that kind of concession, though, for the president of the United States, who has made very racist, I mean, outright racist remarks. And it has been part of his history. And we've made concessions for that because, oh, it's just old Joe. So, you know, should we have a zero tolerance? Should we have a little bit of, okay, look, I know you probably don't mean anything by it, but this isn't okay anymore. The same with misogyny. I mean, girl here, I have no tolerance for misogyny. Women have had to put up with that to a degree. I don't have any tolerance for it. There's no place for it. So it's kind of an interesting time, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting. Even as you call yourself a girl, Michelle, to me, I kind of am a little bit like, actually, you're a woman. Because to me, a girl is a young woman. And once you go beyond a certain age, then you become a girl.
He's calling me old. I mean, isn't that ageism right there? I mean, oh, believe me, I live in Seattle. I'll find reasons to be offended.
You age well. You age well.
Right.
Can we say that? Can we say you age well?
Thank you. You just bailed him out there. And you know who else is bailing out?
I'm always
Gruden?
Here.
This was a kind of, and here we go back to that God story again. I thought this was interesting, though. Tony Dungy, who, by the way, if you know him, he's a commentator. He's the first black coach to win a Super Bowl. He said that firing Gruden was the right thing. But he said that being said, if John Gruden shows true remorse and, more importantly, changes his mindset and actions, I would forgive him. Dungy said, as Christians, that's what the Bible commands us to do, because that's what God does for us. I know it's not popular, but it's biblical. Dungy, come on, outspoken. There you go. And I'm not sure that you're allowed to say stuff like that either. So it does get to be confusing times, but there you go.
Well, what that shows, Michelle, is that the world wants to punish the guy. The world wants to punish the guy and skewer the guy. But they have no such thing. They have no such idea of forgiveness and remorse and repentance. See, there's no repentance with the worldview. That's why I reject the worldview, because there is no repentance with the worldview. Because once you're done, you're done.
And the word grace does not exist in the cancel culture dictionary.
Oh, nope. Ouch.
Very good point. Very good point, Garrick. So, these same people that are calling for Gruden's head, rightfully so, would they choose to forgive, and would they believe if a person transformed? That, I think, is a real question for some. Real question for some of these people.
Mull that over in your mind a little bit.
ABC and NBC and CBS, are they covering the Gruden story to do what is right now? But if John Gruden changes, or another person changes because of all this, are they going to tell that same story? That's my challenge to the media.
Challenge accepted.
And I think the challenge actually for all of us, and not just in the Gruden story, but in life in general, is that how do you know when someone has a true change of heart, and obviously you can measure it by actions, but you can also play the game, can't you? I mean, you can do the right things on the surface, and you can say the right things. And I mean, people hire coaches to coach them to be, you know, public relations people, yeah, who will do all the things. And okay, it happens in politics all the time. And
you're right,
it's,
Garrett.
It's part of the sickening part of politics to me.
But let's just be honest. True colors come out. You know, you can only act for so long, then the script runs out. So, you know, you I guess, as my mama used to say, the proof is in the pudding. Philadelphia Eagles are the lone NFC team on a bye this week. Baltimore, Raiders, Chiefs, they're on AFC.
Saints are also on a bye.
Oh, Saints are on a bye. Okay, there you go.
Interestingly enough, we come off of our bye. We play this very, like, sometimes they have bright uniforms and they play outside and it gets a little wet and rainy up there at times. And it's on a Monday night. And they have this real funky bird-looking thing on the side of their helmet, you know.
Well, yep. It'll be Geno versus Crab Legs, Mr. Winston.
It will be
on Monday Night Football.
I know that the Seahawks are going to be without their star quarterback because he's got a middle. I was going to show my middle finger. That was not okay. He's got middle finger issue.
This is what it looked like. Okay, I am.
Yeah.
Oof. Whoa.
It was.
What the? Yeah. What? What'd you do? How'd you do that? Okay,
I'm
so anyway,
I can do that right there. See, so.
There you go.
Mine's not injured, and I don't make $1 million a day like Russell.
We should put a wager. Let's put a wager. Next week we'll talk about a wager.
All right. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. We absolutely will. The NBA.
Friendly wager.
In the NBA, fellas, we are looking at a lot of confusion back to COVID. And Kyrie Irving had this to say on TikTok.
I chose to be unvaccinated, and that was my choice. And I would ask y'all just to respect that choice. And I am going to just continue to stay in shape, be ready to play, be ready to rock out with my teammates, and just be part of this whole thing. In order to be in New York City, in order to be on the team, I have to be vaccinated.
So that's what he had to say. And yeah, a lot of people are talking about it. He's making a verbal choice. And he almost sounds like the voice of reason in a really confusing time. So I know we've kind of beat this horse already. But people are saying this is really difficult. And now the NBA is going to permit primarily use rapid tests for COVID-19. So why does vaccination really matter?
Well, the other question I would have for the NBA is 96% of their players are vaccinated, according to their official statistics that I looked at this morning in relation to this story that we're talking about, Michelle. So it goes back to the question we posed earlier. Why does it matter?
And here's the point. I mean, from a very and completely practical standpoint, vaccination does not matter. You can catch it, you can spread it, and it makes absolutely no sense. And good for those players who are coming out, and I heard, I can't remember who it was, came out and said, what about prior infection? And this mm-hmm. new Israeli study that came out with over 700,000 people. So this was not like a small sample size of 20 people. There's over 700,000. Those with the natural immunities are 27 times less likely to be infected with COVID than those who are vaccinated with, specifically with the Pfizer vaccine. So, I mean, this is, you talk about science. I mean, hello, wake up.
Well, there you go. And not only less likely to get it, but less likely to have bad effects from any variant. When you understand how a vaccine works, a vaccine is variant specific. It's very specific. So when you have a variant, that's why we need booster shots. On top of that, in about 6 weeks, your vaccination may no longer be good for many people. So with those all of those things being true, it leaves so many empty spots that testing is the only thing that makes sense. We need to just get past this. Maybe the world is slow moving, but I wanted to move on to women in sports.
Can I just say one more thing on that,
go
Michelle?
Go ahead.
The problem is they have just gone so far down the road. It's as if you cannot turn back now. They've doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down. They've made it the policy at Climate Pledge Arena. I mean, I don't know that there's ever going to be any coming back.
Well, and I'll bring up another point and another example to go with your point, Garrick, just real quick. Climate Pledge Arena, you have to be vaccinated to go to Climate Pledge Arena. But yet, Joe Biden's White House staff is not vaccinated, to my
knowledge.
Not required, to my knowledge. Now, how does
Congress,
that work?
Congress is not required. The Pfizer employees are not required.
What?
some rules for me, but not for thee.
Yeah, and that's where you're not allowed to talk about it, but the more you talk about it, the more apt things will change for good, and that's why we're doing it here on My Michelle Live. Now, women in sports are some good and interesting stories. Of course, the WNBA finals. They actually peaked at 1 million viewers Wednesday night with the Phoenix Mercury down in the Chicago Sky in overtime to tie the series 1-1. A Game 2 matchup marked the most viewed final game since, I want to say the 2017 finals, but Rich will have to correct me if that's wrong.
I think that is correct.
Yes, encyclopedia.
I am not a WNBA aficionado because I know that WNBA stands for We Are Not Basketball Anymore, really. If you really look at what the point of that league is, they would get more viewers if what was going on off the court wasn't more important than what was on the court.
Thank you very much. Well put, Rich. There you go. That is.
We're going to change his name from Encyclopedia Rich to rename acronym Rich.
Rename acronym Rich and drop the mic, Rich. There you go. The mic has been dropped.
Next story,
yeah. And just to put it in perspective, yeah, they were all excited about 1 million viewers, but I think it was in 2020 in the NBA Finals, there were 7.5 million viewers in the United States. And so, you know, of course, that is misogyny in the eyes of many of the WNBA players. We already mentioned 10 women on the American Hockey League officiating roster. And then Diana Taurasi was been pretty frustrated with the WNBA because of travel constraints. Now, she had to contend with having to charter a couple teammates chartering a private plane. They had to pay for it themselves so they could get back to Arizona from LA after game 5 after winning the semifinals for the birth of her second child. And she said, "We had to pay for that. We did."
And isn't that their choice? Their specific choice?
She said we had to pay for everything. But they didn't have to pay to get there. They didn't have to pay to get back. If your wife is having a baby, if that happened with other sports and Garrick, your wife was having a baby, you'd have to probably, you know, take care of that yourself.
It'd be on my dime to get home.
Yeah.
Rich?
Well, it goes back to what we were just talking about a second ago. If the WNBA wants to be taken seriously, don't lose $10 million a year for 25 years.
Ouch.
That's $250 million a year. Those travel constraints and having to the quick turnaround of the WNBA finals, that's all about how the WNBA is run as a league. There are no special rules for women's basketball in the competition of professional sports business. You want to be taken seriously as a business. Don't lose $10 million a year and be propped up by the NBA and be taken seriously. These are legitimate women's basketball players. Run your business legitimately and compete in the field of sports entertainment.
All right.
Going back to the fairness and equity thing too, if you want to be treated with respect and you want to be given the same salary as a man, I think was one of the issues that had been raised, then don't, you know, cry foul because of the fact that you're a woman and you want to go home. And so it's just like, okay, which way do you want it? Do you want it this way or do you want it that way? If you want it this way, then we'll do it this way.
Well, according to the women's national team, we want it both ways. Come on. They want to get paid and they want to have the same as the guys, but then they didn't like that. So they want something better. You want something better, you got to earn it. That's all I have to say about that. Guys, it's time for our final shot.
Final shot.
All right, our final shot, we go around the table and just ask for a shout out of something, any news story, any issue that you just want to bring to the table. Rich Hallstrom.
Well, I'm going to go back to the Seattle Kraken because even though they lost their very first game to Las Vegas, they redeemed themselves the other night, a 4-3 win over the Nashville Predators on the road, spoiled the Predators' home opener. Seattle gets a road win. Seattle scores two power play goals. They were 0-3 in game one on the power play, so they improved. And they even got into a fight, so they got their juices flowing that way. And Seattle got their first win. That's a big thing for hockey history. Now we have something to talk about rather than just 1917. We got a hockey team, people. Let's get on the bandwagon.
That's right. The first, first Stanley Cup did go. The very first one did go to a Seattle team. So we've got hockey in our veins.
You told me that when I picked you up from the airport. That was your first fact when you came down to visit. Did you know?
See, there you go. Right. I'm going to take my final shot, and my final shot goes out to British boxer Tyson Fury. After his recent victory over Deontay Wilder in the World Boxing Council heavyweight boxing title match, he said that he wanted to give a little thanks to God. That's a lot of what we do here, and I thought y'all might want to hear it, so here you go.
Do what you just did. You said it, you called it, and you made it happen.
You know, first and foremost, I want to say thank you to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I said those who bring evil against me will not prosper. I said those who stand in the dark can never come into the light. All praise be to the one and only true God, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he went all out. I don't know, Garrick, do you think your job as a pastor is on the line? Man, he might be applying for that job pretty soon. That was I thought he was going to preach a sermon.
I know. He was like, bring it on, buddy.
he will be showing up at your church one Sunday, I think.
Oh, I hope so. That'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. But, you know, it's interesting. You're hearing more from differing athletes, even more so than usual. We're hearing a lot from even Hollywood actors that are saying, you know what? I think we've gone so far. It's time we take a stand. And I applaud people who stand up for their faith. Garrick.
Well, do you recognize this logo behind me?
No.
It is the logo of Black Panther. And so my shout out goes to Black Panther this week. And that it's the Marvel character Black Panther, because this week I had the privilege of being a chaperone at the middle school retreat. And each of the teams had a bandana, and ours was black, and you had to name it after a superhero, your team. And we won because the kids accumulated points all week, and we did a final skit. And I'll send you the YouTube link for that, Michelle, and you can post it on there. You'll see me doing, because I played the part in our little skit of Shang-Chi, and I did a little break dancing. And I did some nunchucks. And so you'll get
you
to see that.
You see that?
If you
go to mymichellelive.com. By the time this is posted, we will have that as well. OMG. Seriously. I'm looking forward to
it. It was the first time I had breakdanced in public for probably about 45 years.
Can you do it now? We want to see a couple moves.
Just do it in your house there. In your
not
house.
Quite enough room in my office. I'm sorry.
Oh, you need to get yourself some nice cardboard. Get yourself some nice cardboard from the trash, and it'll be perfect for you.
I like it. Right. Matt Peel, final shot.
Final shot. Yeah, the Black Panthers from Renting Christian School, seventh grade group. Okay.
I love it.
Thanks. All right, my final shot goes to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the reason it's going to the Dodgers is because it shows that don't give up. Right, they go to the bottom of the ninth in their wild card game to win it. Last night, they go into the ninth inning again to win it. So whatever team you're on, whatever sport you play on, it really isn't over until it's over. So give your best throughout the whole game because you never know when that opportunity is going to come. And you got to get the best shot.
From the author of The Athlete and the Game of Life, it ain't over till it's over. You keep playing till the end. I like that. Words of wisdom from our man of steel, Matt Peel, to Rich, Matt, Garrick, and you who are listening or viewing. Thank you for letting My Michelle Live be part of your day. Love all of you. And we will catch you next week. Bust a move, Garrick.
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.